These messages were given in a meeting for open ministry on Lord's Day, the 13th of December 2020, at the Vale Gospel Hall, Coolsdon. The speaking was through face masks because of the COVID-19 restrictions.
I'd like to read a well-known verse from the Epistle to the Romans in chapter 8. In fact, we may read two verses, verses 28 and 29. But we do know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to purpose. Because whom he has foreknown, he has also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he should be the firstborn among many brethren. And a few verses in Mark's Gospel and chapter 4. Mark 4 and verse 35. And on that day, when evening was come, he says to them, "Let us go over to the other side." And having sent away the crowd, they take him with them as he was in the ship. But other ships also were with him. But there comes a violent gust of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it already filled. And he was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. And they awake him up and say to him, "Teacher, dost thou not care that we are perishing?" And awaking up, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Silence, be mute." And the wind fell, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you thus fearful? How is it that ye have not faith?" And they feared with great fear and said one to another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The verses in Romans 8, which we have read, are very well known to us. And no doubt the 28th verse in particular has been much in the minds of Christians of late. We may well have mentioned it several times to one another and perhaps put it into messages that we've sent to those who have been particularly hit by the COVID-19 restrictions, or even afflicted in their health, whether by COVID or by other things, other ailments. It's probably true for all of us, as it is for my wife and myself, that we seem to have heard of a large number, comparatively speaking, of people who during this year have been hit, we may say, adversely by various afflictions or limitations, maybe bereavements. And then, of course, we have the rapidly worsening state of the world around us, and of Christendom too, alas. And I'm sure this 28th verse has often come before us. We do know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to purpose. But I suppose it's one thing to believe a verse of Scripture. It's another thing for it really to enter into our souls by conviction and perhaps by experience too. Now, we may firstly think that all things working together for good means that circumstances which are unwelcome to us and apparently adverse, in fact, are going to work out into happy circumstances, or at least better circumstances. That is to say, in terms of the here and now. And God, our God and Father, made all the things that way. We may see in process of time that some affliction has brought benefits to us, which perhaps we didn't expect. I think perhaps an example of that may be seen in the case of the Jewish believers to whom the epistle to the Hebrews was written, and the two epistles of Peter. They evidently, or at least many of them, were dismayed by what had happened to them. They were scattered abroad, those who loved Jerusalem were now in various other countries, as we can read in the opening of Peter's first epistle. No doubt they felt somewhat bereft at no longer being in or around Jerusalem. But if they had lived to 67 AD and had heard that Jerusalem was now besieged by Titus's army, or even more if they'd lived to AD 70 and heard of the dreadful ransacking of Jerusalem and the massacre of the Jews who were still found living there, they would then perhaps have said, ah, all things do work together for good. What a good thing it was that we were scattered from Jerusalem. And we can take comfort from these developments. Indeed, how many times in the Scriptures we see examples of this? that God brings blessing even in our circumstances of life out of things that we considered adverse. But what has lately come home to me is that there is far higher and greater gain to be gathered from things working together for good. Yes, we may think of improvements in our earthly situations, but how much better surely it is if things that are outwardly adverse work to our greater appreciation of Christ. Surely that is the best blessing of all. And I believe that amongst all the adversities of the present time, and I'm sure we're all aware of members of family, other relatives, our friends, Christians whom we value, with whom we've enjoyed fellowship, perhaps going back over many years. I think we must all be aware of many afflictions that have fallen upon such who are dear to us. We feel those things, and so we should. How the Lord Jesus feels every sorrow, every affliction which affects those who are his. And what a precious thing it is to be amongst the Lord's own, those for whom he intercedes for us on high, those from whose hearts the Holy Spirit makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I believe that God would use, is indeed using, the difficulties of the present time, of whatever sort, to bring us to an enhanced appreciation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been gladly occupied with him this morning. His greatness, and yet his lowliness and humility as man, his grace, his dignity, his unswerving devotion when here to his Father's will, his present glory in the Father's presence, his coming glory when he emerges from heaven to be acclaimed and bowed to by one and all. And may we increasingly seek that the things that we feel, things that trouble us, maybe in our immediate circumstances or concerning the situations of others, may these things all continue to work to draw us further, closer to Christ, and to appreciate more and more who and what he is. That's why I read in Mark 4. We know the passage well. There's a delightful reference in it to Jesus as he was. I find that very touching. Mark 4, verse 36. The one who was in the form of God, but as we've been reminded this morning, made himself of no reputation, or emptied himself and took a bondman's form, who was found in fashion as a man. And here, the disciples take him with them. Isn't that marvellous? The one who was the Son of God, the Lord of glory. And they were able to take him with them as he was in the ship. And there, he he goes to sleep in the stern. He knew, of course he knew that this storm, this violent storm, was about to arise. This was all for the education, wasn't it, of the disciples. Their immediate reaction, alas, was that perhaps the Lord didn't care about them. And we can understand it if one and another feel so afflicted, so chastised, that they wonder if the Lord really does care about them. But of course he cares about every one of his own. And as we have seen his manhood and humility, as he was in the ship sleeping on the cushion, so we now see the greatness of his deity. He stands up and rebukes the wind and says to the sea, "Silence, be mute." The wind fell and there was a great calm. The Lord could do that in any situation at any time, if it is right in God's sight. And then he reproves them for not having faith. But this is what I wanted just to underline, the 41st verse. They feared with great fear and said one to another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The circumstances of adversity led to their increased appreciation of an admiration for the one who was in the boat there with them. So my simple thought is that for us all, present adversities may be seen to work together for good, not only in terms of improvements to health and well-being or other circumstantial matters, but they may be, these things may be seen to work together for good towards our greater appreciation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.